Good morning, everyone. This is Jeffy Kennedy, author of Epic Fantasy Romance. I'm here with my first cup of coffee. Ah, ambrosia. Today is, say it with me, Friday! Woohoo! February 2nd. Welcome to February 2/2/24. So many twos. Ah. So today I am going to talk a little bit more about process and do a deep dive into my process. So for those of you who heard me talk about this before, I don't know, you may be excused. You've already passed the quiz. Before I get started, though, I do want to say that Wild and Windy tickets in Phoenix are now available. Almost available. Let me take that back. I'll put a link in the show notes, but it will be, why am I not finding this? February 12th to 15th, 2025. So a year from now, if you're into life planning, this is what you do. Tickets go on sale tonight at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Gotta love a thing that's on Mountain Time. I'm going to be there. Sam Nascosta is going to be there. A bunch of other great people will be there. It should be a lot of fun. It's at a cool hotel with like a really nice pool in February. So you all know why I signed up for it. So anyway, I don't know how fast those tickets will go. They might go fast. So if you want to come and you want to see me and a bunch of other fantastic authors, there's all sorts of wonderful authors coming, then come do that. And let's see, what else? So part of what has elicited all these things, for me, you know, like I talked about Monday, being annoyed because I saw yet another class. I see so many classes on this whole, like, outlining for pantsers, plotting for pantsers, that kind of thing. And I got weird pushback. And I know I've already talked about this some, and I won't talk about it a lot. But people are like, what's wrong with having classes? You don't have to take it, this kind of thing. And it's like, yeah, but like if you go through and read my thread, maybe I should link to it. I'm going to link to my thread. Okay, I saved it so that I'll remember to link to it. But it's interesting to read through the thread and see how many people told stories about being really crushed by teachers telling them that if they didn't outline their book ahead of time, that there was something wrong with them, that they weren't doing it right. And I got a fair amount of, and I'm just going to flat say it, sanctimonious replies where people were like, all processes are good and, you know, we don't need to slam each other, which is true, but that was not my point. My whole point is that there is this pressure out there to pre-plot, to outline. One gal said that she had a professor, a writing professor, tell her that if she couldn't learn how to, or told the whole class, but her specifically too, that if she couldn't learn how to outline a book ahead of time, that she would never be a writer. And she quit and she didn't write for 30 years. And fortunately, she came back to it and now she's written 70 books. Other people said, you know, thank you for validating me. You know, I keep feeling like I'm doing something wrong. And this is the problem. When things are targeted at pantsers, and I really want to not use this word anymore. I want to get rid of it. But then I feel like I have to use it to communicate effectively. But people who write intuitively, when classes are targeted at them, there is the implicit idea that they need to be taught, that they have to learn. And I know I already ranted about this, but I'm still getting replies on it. We don't teach people, we don't direct stuff at the people who already outline or who do a lot of pre-plotting. The other thing that came out, sort of elicited a lot of this was, you know, like yet another hot take. Someone did a hot take on saying that people who write fast, basically people who write fast, write garbage, right? You know, these people who write so many books a year, you know, they're churning out crap. And they use words like churning or cranking and all this kind of thing. And, you know, I understand that some of this comes from a place of jealousy and inadequacy. And I coach authors all the time who are slow writers. We all have our own process. Some of us write faster than others. And there is, I understand it's frustrating to be a slow writer. I always feel like I should write faster than I do. And I know I'm a relatively fast writer. It's just, that's just part of the gig. I mean, I just think we're all always going to feel like we need to write faster. And if you are a relatively slower writer, it is frustrating. And one of the ways that some slower writers seem to try to console themselves is by telling them that it's better quality. And spoiler alert, it's not. It's just not. And so I don't know if I've talked about this in some time, but one of the pieces of advice that I give often when people want to try to produce faster, and we're always looking for what I call like productive creativity, sustainable creativity. We want to find a speed at which we can write that preserves quality, that preserves our sanity, but that is also optimized, right? We want to be able to write as fast as we can. And so one first step to take is to divorce yourself from the idea that slow speed equals higher quality. And this is a pervasive idea in our culture. I don't know about other cultures. You know, obviously I'm a U.S. girl. I grew up in the U.S. education system, Cherry Creek School District, rah, rah. Learned to read and spell with Sesame Street. Like it, I watched the first episode when I was like 4 years old. Now you know how old I am, if you didn't already. But anyway, I digress as usual. But in school, we are taught that going slow improves our quality. And maybe if you go to like private school or something, they don't teach you that. But at a public school where the teacher is addressing students of all abilities, that is the perennial advice, right? Take your time, think it through, check your work, right? You know, I don't know if you all got that advice, but you know, like the whole, when you take an exam to go back and check your answers. And I figured out fairly early on in my life not to check my answers, because I am one of those people that my first answer is much more likely to be right. But that's because I'm intuitive, right? You know, I do a lot of things out of my subconscious. There's a lot of things that I know that I don't consciously know. And if I think about it too hard, I screw it up. So if I go back and change my answers on a test, I will inevitably change them wrong. I never ran stats on it, but like I would get my test results back and it would be like my first answer was right and I changed it wrong once I started second guessing myself. Death to second guessing, people. Stop second guessing yourself. This is the whole point of being an intuitive writer. And I am not going to violate my own precepts by telling all of you who pre-plot, who diligently outline, who work so hard at it, you know, if that process works for you, great. But you can learn to rely on your intuitive self, on your self-conscious self. Self-conscious. Did I say self-conscious? That's funny. Also self-conscious, but your subconscious self. Your subconscious self is this huge, huge resource that in our current culture, we are not really taught to use. Now, I talk about how I'm a Taoist. I don't always talk about how I studied Chinese internal martial arts for like 15 years. And one of the things I learned was to communicate with my subconscious. I learned exercises and meditations to clear my conscious mind and allow my subconscious intuitive self to rise up and help me with what I want, right? Help me with stories, help me with all kinds of things. We're doing a deep dive on my process. 10 minutes in, that so far it's not that deep. Not on Taoism, so I'll stay away from that. But learning to trust your intuitive self it's a huge gift. It allows you to bring in the stories from other places, whether it's from your internal self or from somewhere else. I've talked often that I love that analogy of that writing a story is like building a campfire, and people from other worlds come and sit at the campfire and tell you their stories. It is not a thinky process. So we have to get past this idea that going slowly, which really is part of the conscious mind, right? Where you're like thinking and the smoke's coming out of your ears and it's like, oh, I have to think through step by step. And that's how you have to talk too. whereas there's no rule. It's not a real thing that slow speed equals higher quality. It's not true. And if you can get over that idea, it liberates you. Because for me, if I'm in the groove, if I'm really working intuitively and I'm just allowing that story flow to come in, the words fly. It's always when I'm overthinking that I slow down. So that's one piece. How do I write? And we've all been talking about how we do this. And, you know, there's lots of different examples. And I should clarify that this whole thing about whether you write intuitively or analytically, I think that's a useful spectrum, or whether you're an architect or a gardener, you know, like whether or not you plan everything down ahead of time to the least detail, or whether you just plant the seeds and stand there spraying the water on it and wait to see what comes up, right? It's a spectrum, and we all do it different ways. So my process, I always start with story and character. I know who the person is and their situation, and usually not much more than that. And then I build it from there. And by building, I mean I start writing. I just sit down and not sit down. I get on my walking desk, right? Which I do think that the walking helps. There's been a lot of studies to show that the walking helps with like a trance induction. I feel like trance induction gets a bad rap. Some people react badly when I say it. All you're doing is allowing the conscious mind to quiet and the creative self to have free rein, right? So I start writing the story. And no, I don't really take notes. I don't have a plan most of the time. All I have is that character in that situation. And so I start writing them and I start learning who they are and what they want and need from writing this story. And to me, it feels very much like getting to know a real person. And people are beautifully complimentary to me. And it makes me so happy when they say that my characters feel like real people, because they feel like real people to me too. And a friend of mine who is a writer and pretty critical, I feel like she doesn't give praise easily, she's complimented how complex my characters are. And I was thinking about, and this is something we talked about in that thread too, is like one of the classic pre-planning ways of writing is goal, motivation, conflict. It's something that's often taught for characterization. What is their goal? What is their motivation? What is their conflict? And I could never do it because I could never reduce it down to that. And now I understand why. And I'm kind of sorry that I spent all this time trying to wedge myself into that model. And this is the problem. For all those people coming at me saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with learning new things. I agree. There is nothing wrong with learning new things. What is, and I will say, it is wrong to try to force yourself into a tool that does not work for you. And some of us will spend a lot of time contorting ourselves because we think what we want to do is wrong, right? We think, oh, I have to learn this goal motivation conflict thing. Spoiler, I'm doing a lot of spoilers today, aren't I? That's silly. Anyway, you do not. You do not. And you know, I've got the permission wand here. I'm waving the permission wand. If goal motivation conflict doesn't work for you, don't do it. So I just start writing and I clear my mind and I walk and I do my best to channel my character. If I do anything besides that, it slows me down. And yes, this does mean that sometimes I don't figure out who my characters really are until much later in the story. Sometimes I discover their secrets at the very end of the book when they reveal it to someone else. And I'm like, holy shit. Sometimes, yeah, all of these things are a mystery to me as much as if I'm reading a book. And yeah, then I go back and I layer in. I will go back and adjust the voice. I go back when I finish, I revise from the beginning and I adjust the voice. But let me dispel a myth here, because something I hear all the time is like, well, you may draft fast. And I do. It takes me, well, I think I said this on Monday, but I'll repeat, you know, like 55 to 70 days to draft a like 100,000 word novel. Which I would like to go faster, but that works for me. I do not revise as I go. Sometimes I'll back up like a page when I first get started in the morning, just to kind of get a running start to kind of anchor myself in the story again. It depends. It depends on how vivid the thread is in my mind. But I don't really revise as I go. But people will often say, well, you know, it's one thing to draft fast, but then you spend so much time rewriting and revising. And I don't. I spend 1 or 2 weeks revising. And then that's my final. I am very fortunate that I have enough of an eidetic memory that my spelling and punctuation and grammar and all of that is fairly clean. I do weird typos, especially when I'm really in the zone, which is fascinating to me because I'll make homonym errors. God, I make homonym errors in speech too. Homonym errors, what would those be? I will make those errors when I'm really in the zone, and I'll find them when I go back through. Like instead of writing no N-O, I'll write K-N-O-W. For no reason. No reason at all, except for like my eidetic memory conscious brain is like not exactly engaged. And I figure, well, that's a good thing, right? So yeah, typically I write through all the way to the end. Sometimes I write through to midpoint, sometimes to act two climax, and then go back to the beginning and revise. But my revising process is really a layering. I usually end up cutting about like 1,000 or 2,000 words, which are almost always like red herrings or false paths or repetition. Sometimes I repeat myself, and I'll end up adding like 5 to 10,000 words on revision. Mostly because I'm an adder on revision. I will end up fleshing things out, making layering in details, amping up the fight scenes because I allow myself to sketch in the fight scenes because I hate them. And I keep track of the structure as I go. So when I talk about that, I do the 8-scene, 3-act structure. I keep track of my word count as I go. I just use Word and I, you know, check my word count for each chapter. And I have a spreadsheet where I put that in and I can kind of see where I am in the story. And I use this mostly to predict when I'm going to finish, because once I have that first 25% in place, then I know how long the book will be. So I could probably say a whole lot more about this, but this is why I am a far end intuitive writer, because I don't do any planning at all. So on that note, I'm going to send you all into the weekend. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And I will talk to you all on Monday. You all take care. Bye-bye.